I wonder how many of you saw a connection between the two readings. Well, perhaps we'll find out from some of you a little bit later on. My first text is from Luke chapter 12 and verse 24. It's not first in order or priority. It's just the first one I'm going to read to you. And it is words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Comparing the ravens to that rich, foolish man who was going to pull down his barns and build bigger. And so the Lord Jesus Christ invites us to consider, give thought to the ravens. My second text is from Psalm 147 and verse 9, and probably it is my main text. So Psalm 147 verse 9, he giveth to the beast his food. This is God. God giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. The young ravens which cry. Now, ravens are mentioned in the Bible a few times, about 10 times. One raven was sent from the ark, from Noah's ark, to determine if there was any dry land. The children of Israel were forbidden to eat ravens in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, where it is repeated. So it was a forbidden food. And in 1 Kings 17, we read that Elijah was fed by ravens. They brought him food. But they're possibly too well known, sent from the ark and Elijah, too well known examples in the Bible where ravens are mentioned. But also, and I'm not asking you to look these up, I'll go through these very quickly, by way of introduction, where ravens are mentioned in the Bible. In Job 38, we read, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. So it's a very similar verse to the one in the psalm. In Proverbs 30, the theme here, because I'm not going to read too many verses beforehand, is not being satisfied. And so what isn't going to be satisfied? And that's the eye that mocketh at his father. Never be satisfied, and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. If you want to get the context of that, I suggest you read a few verses beforehand, but not now. I just want to point out where the raven is mentioned. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, this is a picture language of the Lord Jesus Christ. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. And finally, in Isaiah 34, verse 11, this is to do with judgment upon the land of Israel. And there are a few verses that describe what's going to happen to the land of Israel because of Israel's disobedience and worshiping other gods. But we read in Isaiah 34, verse 11, the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. So there are all the places where the raven can be found in the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ chooses a bird that we don't see very often in where we live in England. If there was knowledge of a raven in the area, you can guarantee that many bird watchers who would go and try to see it and possibly photograph it. In those days, though, ravens in Israel are much more common. Jesus chose examples, pictures that were commonly seen. A sower going to sow, sheep in a field. And many parables were made with everyday things. And we're invited to consider the ravens. I'm going to play the sound of a raven because it's quite pertinent to what we want to think about. This is what a raven would sound like, because in the Psalm 147, it mentions the cry of the raven. Doesn't sound much like a bird, you might think, but that's the sound of a raven. I imagine the younger ravens might sound possibly with a slightly higher pitch, not quite so loud. Now, the ravens are a picture for us of how God cares for us, his people. The raven has a harsh, croaking, quite unpleasant sound to make their wants heard. And the Bible tells us that when the ravens cry, the Heavenly Father feeds them. And what we can say is, when we consider the raven, if God cares for ravens and feeds ravens, will he not also care and feed us, care for us and feed us? And this is the picture that we are given by the Lord Jesus Christ. If God hears the ravens, will he not hear you as well? He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. And I have six brief points to make concerning the cry, if you like, of the raven. Surely, as human beings, we are more valuable than a raven. Even if you put aside what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, that we are more valuable than the fowl. What is it? It's a very large black bird, similar to our crow, but much bigger. And what does it eat? Well, just about anything. It eats dead things. So we can say that it's an omnivore. It eats plants, it eats meat that it can find. It cleans up dead things from the road. Now, very often you might see, as you're driving along, a dead bird on the road, perhaps a pheasant, didn't quite get high enough, or as it flew across the road, you might have hit a bird with your car, might have gone into the windscreen, or a bird might have flown into your window. You might have seen a fox, dead fox. Sadly, we don't see our spike friends, the hedgehog, on the road anymore. I don't know how many we have of those, but we don't grieve over a dead animal, do we? Not really. We might spare a thought. I hope it died quickly. But no one's going to care if two or three ravens die. Unless, of course, you're an avid bird watcher. And, you know, you really care for wildlife like that. It's just a bird. A bird that eats dead things. When the raven is dead, it's dead. It's gone for good. There is now no more raven. It ceased to exist. And it's just a dead body. Now, that's true of us. When we die, what's left is just flesh and bone. The part that really lives inside us has been separated from us. It's our immortal soul. That defines death, doesn't it, for us? The separation of body from the soul. When our present life is over on this earth, we don't, like the raven, we don't cease to exist. We live on. Our soul lives on. It lives forever. And when the sun and the moon have been are gone, we will still exist, possibly in eternal misery, unless God hears our cry, like he hears the cry of the raven. And this is the picture that we are to have and to think about. God tells us to consider the raven. And if God hears the raven's cry, which is now, tomorrow is gone and will never be repeated, and is blotted out of existence, we're told to, Jesus tells us that he'll hear us. We're an immortal soul. We are much more important than any animal to him. God said, let us make man in our own image. Different from all the animals. No matter how intelligent or loving an animal might be, if it's a pet. Some animals are magnificent. In fact, God shows a few of these animals to Job. And have you not considered behemoth? And we can think now of whales. I don't know if you've ever seen a whale from the air on the television. They're massive animals. And elephants. It seems that society gets very sad when elephants are badly treated in the wild. And I'm always impressed myself with things like tigers and polar bears, the power that they have, and the beauty that some of these animals have, and the size, but they have no soul. A raven isn't like us because we're sinful, but a raven, no raven has ever sinned. It's not been given any laws to obey. It might be one of the most unclean birds that there are, because of what it eats, but human beings, you and I, we are morally unclean. A raven cannot break the Sabbath, we can. Can't tell a lie, can't commit adultery, can't get drunk or defile itself with various vices. It cannot sin because it has no soul. And yet God hears the cry of such a creature. And we're to think, well, if God will hear the cry of such a creature, will he not hear the cry of a humble sinner turning to him in true repentance? Or the cry of one of his children who turns to him in a time of need? So God has chosen the raven in our picture. There are other birds that he could have chosen that might be more appealing to us. The nightingale has a much more pleasant song. You wouldn't call it a cry, though. And blackbirds, I love to hear a blackbird sing. And black as well, like the raven, but a much prettier song. And of course, some animals, like the eagle, has power that the other birds don't have. I understand that some eagles are actually able to whisk away into the air small dogs and sheep, young sheep. And of course there are birds of paradise that have colours that you would struggle to match with paint and brush, wonderfully made by our God. So if we're sincere, and the ravens sincere in their cry, they want food, the worst of sinners will be heard who cry to him in repentance. Point number two, our cry is different to the raven's cry. It can't form words. It can't articulate, can't speak. No sentences. They cannot argue a point. They cannot express a feeling. Now, I know some animals can. You might think your dog or your cat can express feelings, and that's true. You know when it's in pain. You know when it's hungry. You know when it might be sad or lonely or it's missing you. But a raven, you heard the sounds of a raven. That's the only sounds they can make. And they are very separate from expressing any kind of feeling. And what makes the raven cry, call out? Hunger. When ravens want food, they don't cease to cry, like lots of birds in the nest. And they cry and they make these noises until they have their food. And they're an example to us of persistence. And we too must be persistent in our crying to God. By that I mean in our praying. Now, how are we different from the raven then? Well, as I've said, they cannot form speech, but we can. We can think for ourselves. We're rational beings. We're thoughtful. We're expressive. And at times we sigh and we groan. The raven cannot reason, but we are invited to reason with God. And I'm thinking of Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So not only are we invited to consider the raven, but we're also invited to reason together with the Lord. We can reason, we can have conversation, we can talk about things, we can ask advice, but not the raven. Point number three. Our cry is much more pleasing to God than the raven's cry for food. God delights to forgive. He is a forgiving God, a compassionate God, and a loving God. Micah 7 verse 18 describes this really well. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. This is our God. He is pleased to supply the beast of the field, but he delights to meet the needs of, say, a backslider or one who is seeking after him. There was one young man and he was hungry. He was hungry for money, and he asked his father if he could have what was due him if his father died. He wanted his inheritance. And his father agreed, sadly, and he went off with his money. And not long after spending it very quickly on what was called riotous living, he ran out of money. And he had nowhere to live. And he spent some time feeding swine, feeding pigs, until he came to his senses. You see, we have reason. We think for ourselves. It's a shame that this man had to be brought so low in order to be brought to his senses. And he went back to his father and asked if he could just be a servant. But his father met him with open arms and greeted him and treated him with much kindness and gave him a ring and a fine coat to wear. So well did he treat him, and was so pleased to have him back, who he said was dead but is now alive. But his brother was quite jealous. I've been with you all this time, he said. But his father said, no, my son, as far as I was concerned, was dead. No communication from him whatsoever. But now he's alive. And he invited his son, his second other son, to rejoice with him. And Luke 15, verse 7. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So as we continue to consider the raven, we think about the joy that God has in hearing our cries and responding to them. Point number four. Ravens are not told to come, but we are. We are invited, we are told, we are instructed to come to God, but not ravens. Ravens are not bidden to cry. They do it out of instinct. They do so when they are empty, when their tummies are empty. But they are not sent away. They are not sent away empty. The Bible says that God feeds them. Some wonderful verses from Scripture we can read. Whosoever, from Acts chapter 2, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And Jesus said in Mark 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. These encouragements, these exhortations that we've got, these three that I've read, are given with no limitation on who we are, what we've done in the past. No limitation, this invitation to our character, our family, our wealth. We are just bidden to cry like the raven, and God will answer that cry. And we are commanded to cry unto God. And point five. The cry of a raven is the natural cry of a creature. But our cry, if it's coming to God for the first time, seeking forgiveness for our sins, coming to him in repentance, that's the result of grace. It's the result of the Holy Spirit working inside our heart and our mind, as opposed to the cry of the raven, which is natural. So we could say that the cry of the sinner coming to God for the first time, if you like, in repentance, is a supernatural cry, not a natural cry, but a supernatural cry or a spiritual cry, because it is the result of the Holy Spirit working inside us. And we remember from Romans chapter 2, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance, the result of grace. And finally, point six, when a raven cries, it cries alone. It might be in a nest with others, but it's still crying alone, in a sense. I'll show you how. We cry with someone mightier than us, who cries, if you like, at the same time. If we say the cry is a prayer, we cry, we pray with someone else praying for us, someone mightier than us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If we sincerely come to him in faith, acknowledging that we are sinners, that we have not kept any of his commands, and we come to him being drawn by his love, we can read these words from Hebrews chapter 7. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, and that him is the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. When we pray as Christians, we have someone praying with us at the same time. We have the Holy Spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ who makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The ravens cry in the field on their own. But when we cry, when we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ prays with us. Job 38:41, we have a question. Who provideth for the raven his food? When the young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. When do we cry? Well, the Christian can cry all day, every day, when in need and when not in need. Christians crying, Christians praying is described as the Christian's air. And we all need oxygen to survive, to live. But if you've never cried unto God, if you've never prayed to God, you've never prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're young, then pray now. Pray unto him while you are young. Cry unto him while the day is still young. If it's afternoon, when you hear this, then pray during the afternoon. In other words, now is the day of salvation. So whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, God will hear the sinner's cry as he hears the raven's cry. Now, someone bought me and Dawn this book, Sing Aloud in Jesus' Name, and it describes briefly the life of some hymn writers that are unknown. I'd like to read four verses from a hymn by a man called Rowland Hill, and he lived from 1744 to 1833. Tell me, Saviour, from above, dearest object of my love, where thy little flocks abide, sheltered near thy bleeding side. Say, thou shepherd all divine, where I may my soul recline, where for refuge shall I fly, while the burning sun is high. Never had I sought thy name, never felt the inward flame, had not love first touched my heart, given the painful, pleasant smart. Turn and claim me as thy own. Be my portion, Lord, alone. Deign to hear a sinner's call. Be my everlasting all. We come to our last hymn, which is